Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
Niceness is a word that is synonymous with kindness, and of course the world needs more kindness. What we're really talking about here is fake niceness. It's an approach toward life, an orientation, where you're really pretty much scared to death of other people and what they think. And so what you do is you basically strip your life of anything that might make you stand out, possibly go into conflict with anyone as well. And you basically become the nation of Switzerland, right? You take no stand on anything. No more, Mr. Nice Guy. No more, Mr. Clean. No more, Mr. Nice Guy.
This is, he's sick. He's a sick. When did you ever think that being a nice guy could actually be a problem? Well, in too many marriages today, in too many families, there are lots of nice guys who really aren't being the kind of men that God is calling them to be. Is that a problem? You bet. Is there something we can do about it? Absolutely. So glad you've joined us today for the Homeward Broadcast. I'm Roger Marsh, along with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. We are here at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University and the studios therein. And during the next half hour, you're going to hear part one of Jim's conversation with Paul Coughlin. Paul is an author of a number of books. And the first book he wrote, actually, is one we haven't talked to him about yet. It's called No More Christian Nice Guy. And today we're going to talk about the dangers of being a Christian nice guy. Before that, though, I want to remind you that Homeward is completely listener-supported. We are a broadcast outreach that reaches international realms, and we talk about radio and online and our seminars too. Your prayers and faithful financial support make the difference in that, and you can give a gift online in support of our ministry today when you go to homeward.com. Our website's absolutely secure at homeward.com.
Welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns, and I'm smiling today because I've been looking forward to having Paul Coughlin on our broadcast for a long time. And he's written numerous books. Today, we're going to talk about the dangers of becoming a Christian nice guy. I think one of the best books I've ever read on this subject is by Paul, and it's the book called No More Christian Nice Guy. And it was actually written a couple of years ago, but we never had the privilege to having him on the show for this particular one. He's been on our broadcast before. He's a popular radio host, internationally recognized speaker, has been on Good Morning America, CNN, Focus on the Family. The Los Angeles Times has printed stuff on him. He's written numerous books and a great curriculum on bullying as well called The Protectors. Paul makes his home in Oregon with his wife, Sandy, who we've had on the broadcast, and their three children. Paul, welcome to the program.
It is great to be back with you, Jim. Thank you.
It's good to see you here. No More Christian Nice Guy. I mean, I've said this to you, I think, when we've, you know, just talked at other times, but I get introduced as a nice guy. I mean, Today we were talking about traits, Christian traits in my small group, and they were talking about each other, and, you know, they said, well, you know, you're kind of humble and you're nice. Now, my wife might not think either one at times, but, you know, I was called nice, and I went, oh, I'm going to have to talk to Paul today about a nice guy. I mean, give us kind of a 60-second introduction to what you mean, no more Christian nice guy. Aren't we supposed to be nice as Christians?
Well, yeah, you know, I mean, niceness is a word that is synonymous with kindness. And of course, the world needs more kindness. What we're really talking about here is fake niceness. It's an approach toward life, an orientation, where you're really pretty much scared to death of other people and what they think. And so what you do is you basically strip your life of anything that might make you stand out, possibly go into conflict with anyone as well. And you basically turn yourself into plain vanilla, where you basically become the nation of Switzerland, right? You take no stand on anything, and thinking that somehow we're making it through life in an effective way, and we're following the image and the character of Christ. And what I discovered by looking at the real Jesus of the Bible, not the one that I was handed in what I call the NGB, the Nice Guy Bible, was that the real Jesus of the Bible is simply not a nice guy. He's a good guy. By the way, the word nice, through most of human history, if you called someone a nice guy, it wasn't a compliment. It throughout history, it has meant to be dainty, effeminate, unable to endure much. So if you call someone a nice person, those may have been fighting words at one time.
So there's the picture of Jesus. I have a friend named Rick Bunch, who's a pastor in Hawaii.
Oh, yeah.
He's got this picture
of... Pass Through Fire is his book, I believe.
He's actually written a number of books, and we've been great friends for years. But he talks about the picture of Jesus that we see, and Jesus is a wimp. I mean, I'm sorry, but that's what it looks like.
He's awful.
You wouldn't like that kind of a picture of Jesus.
No, and in my men's conferences, I grab one of them and I use him as an example. There's one of those pictures of Jesus rescuing Peter on the Sea of Galilee, and it almost looks like Jesus has cleavage. It's so bad. And he has these maternal hips, and the way in which he is standing, it really is pretty gut-turning. And in this book and in the conferences, my goal is really to get rid of that Jesus. It's unbiblical. That's not the real Jesus.
You know, many times we've had people on the broadcast. I remember Mike Erie, who's a pastor here in Southern California, and he was talking about that a lot of men don't relate to church. And his opinion was that they don't relate to church is because they look at Jesus as kind of a wimpy guy, when in fact, again, what you're saying is that if Jesus really were here today, he would be more of kind of a man's man. That doesn't mean, I mean, he might, you know, love opera. I mean, who knows?
Yeah, that's right.
But he would not be as wimpy as we tend to think he is.
The real Jesus of the Bible is more tender than those around him, and he is more tough than most of the people around him. Jesus wore, he had hush puppies, and he had combat boots. It just depended on what virtue was required at the time. And unfortunately for many Christian men, myself for a long time, I thought I was only allowed to stay on the sweet side of life, that you couldn't have any jalapeno in your personality. You couldn't have any inner heat, what the Greeks called thumos, which is where we get the word for thermos, a container of inner heat. You couldn't be one of those kind of people. I was that way kind of naturally, but I found that when I came into church, I had to jettison that portion of my personality, and in doing so, destroyed good portions of my life.
Well, tell me about that, because a lot of people, you know, maybe they become a Christian. I became a Christian when I was in high school, and I actually thought there was a new way to live, and there is a new way
to live.
That's right. But I think I had some of that as well, where I went, okay, now I'm supposed to be nice and kind and almost passive-aggressive, if you would. But you're saying that's not the case. Well, that must have happened to you. You had a change. Talk about your own personal change in this.
Yeah, again, I thought that when I was going off to church that, again, I just had to be Mr. Mellow Yellow all the time. I mean, and you thought you would look at the people who were held up as examples of great Christian witness, right, particularly in their marriages. And you would they would be held up, and people who were just, I mean, they wouldn't say boo if you set them on fire. And these would be the kind of people who wouldn't say boo if you set someone else on fire. They just didn't seem very alive to me. And I thought, there's something wrong with this picture. And I always chafed against it. And then there just came this interesting moment in my life. What a lot of people don't know about No More Christian Nice Guy was the original working title for the book was called The Not-So-Nice Guy Humor of Christ. Now, I couldn't even explain what the book was about, and so I had to retool it substantially, but it was largely Jesus's sarcasm.
Called this blessed sarcasm.
Yeah,
blessed sarcasm.
That's right. You read the book. Blessed sarcasm, where Jesus used sarcasm to do his part for the kingdom of heaven. And as far as we can tell, his sarcasm was largely reserved for the Pharisees, the biggest bullies of his day. And so he dresses them down in public. He said to them at one point in the Gospel of Mark, "You have such a fine way of ignoring the commandments of God." Well, if that is sober prose, then our theology is shipwrecked, because we would be saying that Jesus is actually complimenting people who ignore the commandments of God. He had to be sarcastic in that situation. And if not, you know, we're in a lot of trouble. And again, we have a hard time thinking that Jesus might be sarcastic because we think he was such a nice guy. What's interesting is some of our favorite teachers, Chuck Swindoll being one of mine, very funny guy, sometimes uses sarcasm, sometimes really, really stark sarcasm to prove a point. Some of the best teachers in the world use sarcasm, and we call Jesus the great teacher. But for some reason, we won't allow his personality to include those things. And as a result, we make him mighty unattractive and boring to a seeking world.
We're talking today with Paul Coughlin. We're talking about a book that he's written called No More Christian Nice Guy. And we've been talking about the fact that Jesus might not have been as nice as some of those pictures actually make him out to be. Paul, I want to talk about bullying, and I know that that's a very important part to your life, and you actually have an experience with your kids that you basically give them the go-ahead to defend themselves against bullies. We're going to take a break. When you come back, I want you to give us some feedback on how we should have our kids deal with bullies. 160,000 kids stayed home from school today because of bullies. We'll be right back. I'm Jim Burns. The book is called No More Christian Nice Guy. Roger's going to tell you about it. Paul Coughlin is with us, popular radio host, internationally recognized speaker. Great to have him with us.
Certainly is. And on this edition of the Homeward Broadcast, we're actually continuing a theme that we've had for the past couple of programs. We've talked about the dangers of being a Christian nice girl, and also now the dangers of being a Christian nice guy. Paul Coughlin, the author of the book No More Christian Nice Guy, and the co-author of the book No More Christian Nice Girl. These are books that are great to read kind of in sequence, read them together, discuss them with you and your spouse, and also with your children too, because we're not so concerned about making us good. You know, I mean, the whole idea in the culture is to be nice and get along with everybody, but Paul is challenging us to take it to the next level and be the good people that God wants us to be. You can find some good principles in these books, and we highly recommend them. As a matter of fact, when you go to homeward.com, if you're not there already, you'll find a number of other helpful resources. Check out our articles and tip sheets section or the real life answer section of our website at homeward.com, and you'll find a number of different articles and video clips and audio clips as well. They're all available without cost. I mean, when you go to those two sections, there are some places where you need to pay, but go to homeward.com for the resources that you need.
I'm Jim Burns with today's Homeward Snapshot.
Mrs. Tucker, I'll have you know, this is not the first time Rebecca's been sent to my office.
But she's not a bully, Mr. Anderson.
Well, I've got complaints here from four other parents and a teacher that say that she is.
I just don't believe it.
Well, she's been disruptive in class. She's been picking fights.
I can't believe Mrs.
that. Tucker, Rebecca is an angry girl and she needs help.
There's a startling new trend in America today, and your son or your daughter might be caught up in it. The Committee for Children found that 78% of 3rd through 8th graders had been bullied in the previous month. Makes me wonder, who's doing the bullying? Well, the reality is that it could be your son or your daughter. If your son or your daughter has been bullying other classmates, be mindful of the fact that there are probably a number of issues that he or she is facing and simply doesn't know how to deal with. That's where you come in. Seek professional counseling and do it immediately. I'm Jim Burns, ready to help at homeward.com. Welcome back. I'm Jim Burns. Great conversation today with Paul Coughlin. We're talking about the dangers of becoming a Christian nice guy. You want to listen to this. It's a great conversation, a fabulous book, No More Christian Nice Guy, when being nice instead of good hurts men, women, and children. And Paul has a great message in this book on this, and actually has several great books that he's written, Unleashing Courageous Faith, Married But Not Engaged, that he co-wrote with his wife, and No More Christian Nice Girl as well, that he also co-wrote. He's also the creator of Protectors, which is a curriculum addressing the issues of bullying. And Paul, we talked about bullying right before the break, and you actually say to your kids, look, if you're being bullied, I give you the freedom to fight back.
Yeah, you know, most bullying is verbal, not physical,
right?
80% of it. So my children have the green light to defend their own dignity. We are imbued with great value, dignity, and worth, Isaiah chapter 8, among other important scriptures. And no one has the right to tear that asunder. And so with our kids, we give them the right to defend themselves from abuse. And I know that the number one thing people are thinking of right now is, well, didn't Jesus say turn the other cheek? Where if someone strikes you on one cheek, you to turn the other. What is interesting is that when Jesus was struck on the face by the guard of the high priest, because apparently Jesus was not being a nice guy in front of the guard of the high priest, he probably said something that was disrespectful, as if Jesus didn't know he was doing that. So the guard hits him on the face. Now, if turn the other cheek is literal, then Jesus should have turned his cheek to be hit again by the guard of the high priest. He did not. The real Jesus of the Bible, again, not of the NGB, the nice guy Bible, but the real Bible, the real testimony, shows that Jesus verbally defended himself. In a paraphrase, he said, "Everything I have taught in public. I've done nothing in private. If so, why do you strike me?" So Jesus defended himself with words, and so is Jesus, like the rest of us, a hypocrite. I think it comes down to how we interpret turn the other cheek. He never told us what it was. I have to rely on people like C.S. Lewis and others who have told us that turn the other cheek probably meant not to return an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, not to get into revenge. I'm not an expert in Middle East affairs, but I know this is true. It's not working. Right? So an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth just escalates things. Now, here's the important difference. Self-defense is not automatically revenge. To defend my own value and for me to defend another person's value is not the act of revenge. It is the act of maintaining the dignity of being made in the image of God. So my children are given the green light to defend their own dignity, and they are expected to defend the dignity of other people.
Interesting. That's a great concept. Not only bullying, but I think at other times when people see this, oh, no more Christian nice guy, that you're giving them a ticket to scream, yell, shout, push.
No, it's interesting. I did read an interview years ago with someone who got that from the book. I don't know where they got that. I'd love to see the supporting documentation for that. Actually, this is a higher calling. This is a book that helps men come alive in a way that they may have not been otherwise, and to instead of standing on the sidelines of life, instead of giving into the sin of cowardice, because that was largely my problem. My problem in church wasn't necessarily that I was over the top. I was too underwatted. I went into life with not enough of energy sometimes, and not enough of gumption. And part of that was due to cowardice, which is a sin. Revelation 21:8. God puts cowards in the same category as liars, sorcerers, thieves, and adulterers, among others. So many times what we call a nice guy is really a coward in disguise. And so I lift the veil off of that kind of lifestyle, which I lived for a while. And in doing so, help men see, you know, you've got a lot more courage in you than you realize. You've got a lot more strength. And we need to use that on behalf of other people. So it's really a call to greater sacrifice.
Well, let's talk about marriage then. Because I know you write about marriage, and sometimes you can be too wimpy in a marriage. But let's take a live illustration of somebody that I talked to last week. Husband and wife. The husband wants to please the wife. The wife, he said, he's in front of her. He said, "I feel like I'm always walking on eggshells. She has a poor self-image. She is very critical. She's very negative. She's always putting me down. And so what I've learned to do is adjust by just not, you know, hassling her, because I know it's going to blow up and, you know, then the kids are going to get involved and it's a big mess." So we kind of live on this balance of me, I think he might even use the word nice, of me being, you know, kind of nice, but I don't fight with her because I know it's going to be World War III. You know, I'm pretty much quoting what he said to me.
Well, you're quoting what many, many men say. I mean, during men's conferences, it's one of the biggest complaints that I receive. Yeah, he, like everyone else, needs to learn how to speak the truth in love. Because what happens with acquiescing like that is eventually you just fill up this reservoir of bitterness and resentment. And I don't care if you're Gandhi. Eventually, if you've been married long enough and you have that dynamic that defines your relationship, everyone's going to have to put up with that every once in a while. But if that is a dynamic that defines the relationship, eventually duty is going to lose out. And other women are going to start looking so much more attractive to him. And you know, the list goes on and on. And he really does need to learn how to speak the truth in love to her, to tell her these things, but not attack her in the process. It takes time.
And what does he do when he said, "You know what, I think she's pretty unstable"? And what he was afraid is that he might lose her. Because I'm not talking about suicide now, but I'm talking about she just may go over the top. She was emotionally not healthy. How does he tread lightly, but at the same time, as you said, you know, you got to talk to this person?
Well, I don't know how not accepting abuse would push someone over the edge. If not accepting another person's abuse pushes them over the edge, there's something tremendously wrong with that. Should never push a normal person over the edge.
Fascinating. You have a quote where you said, "When I brought the fear-based passivity of my youth into my young marriage, and I combined it with the false ideal of a gentle Jesus, meek and mild, fireworks exploded."
Yeah, I wasn't very emotionally present, and I didn't really know that until we went to a marriage encounter, and God bless our friends. They didn't actually tell us what we were in for. They just say, hey, there's this great thing coming up, and you need to go to it. It's a great, it'll be good for your marriage. I thought, well, sure. And in that, I realized how much I downplayed and was critical of emotions. Everything had to be logical. Because, of course, that's why women get married. Every woman wants to marry Spock with pointy ears, right? Where you don't express emotion. Everything's logical, and logic has its place, don't get me wrong. But I didn't know. I didn't know how much I actually feared emotions. My niceness, my desire in life was to clip the highs and to clip the lows. And if I could just get out of this thing alive, I was a happy person. And so emotions are really bad in that respect because they bring the lows and they also bring the highs. So I would fear great joy and I would fear great pain as well because I didn't want to feel these things given my upbringing. Well, you know, you bring that mind. No one goes into a marriage saying, hey, listen, honey, I just want you to know something. I clipped the highs and the lows in my life. I didn't know I was doing that. It had to be pointed out to me. And I think that was really God's grace what played such a huge role there, because I don't think I would have come to it on my own. But then the issue became, once I saw that truth, what was I going to do with it? Was I going to hide from it, as I had done probably in years past when you get inklings of it, you know? Or was I going to honor it? And through that portal of pain, it was painful, but through that portal of pain, would I be able to transform, hopefully, into a better husband and father and have a greater life?
Oh, that's great. Great comment. We've got to have you come back because we have so much more to talk about.
Love to.
Paul Coughlin with us. It's either the pain of discipline or the pain of regret. And I think we need some pain of discipline here when it comes to this great conversation today, really a thoughtful conversation. By the way, if you did not hear all of this conversation and you'd like to go back and hear it, or you'd like to have a friend, in quotes, maybe your spouse, listen to this conversation, you can always go online at homeward.com. We have 50,000 podcast listeners, and you can podcast at any time. So you don't just have to listen to it right now at this time. But for many people, this is a life-changing type conversation. Paul Coughlin with us. Roger, tell us about the book. It's a great book. It's a book that just keeps on changing people's lives, and I highly recommend it.
We all highly recommend the books by Paul Coughlin here on the Homeward broadcast. And when you check us out online at homeward.com, you can find a click through to Paul information on Paul's book, No More Christian Nice Guy. There's also a new book that's just come out within the past few months, co-authored by Paul Coughlin and Dr. Jennifer Degler. It's called No More Christian Nice Girl. These are great resources. The more you read them, the more you'll learn about the difference between being quote-unquote nice and actually being the good person that God is calling each of us to be. You can learn more about these resources at your favorite Christian bookstore, of course. That's where they're available. They're also information available to you at homeward.com. And speaking of information, there are a lot of free resources that we have at homeward.com that will help you improve the quality of the conversation and the communication and connection that you have with your kids. We talk about sex and sexuality, sexual purity, drug and alcohol abuse. But Jim, there's a new resource, a couple of resources actually in our resource center right now that talk about having an important talk with our kids about the S word. And when we talk about the S word in this case, we're talking about stewardship and savings. Talk about these new resources that are available.
Well, you're right. You know, many parents have the talk with their kids about the dangers of drug and alcohol abuse mm-hmm. or sex and sexuality. Yeah. But when it comes to money, that's one area that sometimes we parents miss altogether. Mm. And we sort of just breeze over that, and yet it's so critical for so many families. Well, many kids only think about money when they need some.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But that's why I'm excited about this brand new group of tip sheets that we've created to help parents and kids in this particular area, stewardship. As parents, we need to be intentional about teaching our kids about stewardship, and then we need the consistency to teach them how to live these principles out, both in our lives and in their lives. Yeah. These new tip sheets are designed to be conversation starters that you can use with your kids about crucial topics like savings, spending, investing, and even giving.
Those are important principles for us to be talking to our kids about. And how often do we have those conversations? Usually the money talk with our kids is, all right, get a job, get a savings account, get a checking account, pay your own bills, and move out. That's really the short version of it. There's so much more to stewardship. And we are so grateful that our friends at Steadfast Companies, which is a leading real estate investment company, have partnered with us to put together these tip sheets that you can use. Mom and dad can have the conversation and then have the conversation with your kids. Biblical principles for learning the concept of stewardship, of what it means to spend and save and give and invest. For more more information on how to download these, just go to homeward.com. In the keyword area, just write in steadfast, S-T-E-A-D-F-A-S-T. It'll take you to a page where it gives you the option for a couple of tip sheets. Click on that and you can read them. They're all right there. They're absolutely free, courtesy of our friends at Steadfast. That's homeward.com, keyword steadfast. And now for Dr. Jim Burns, our engineer Ben Camp, and the rest of the staff, I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks so much for listening. Be sure to join us again next time right here for another edition of Homeward, where parents get real answers. Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.